Perhaps the clearest articulation we get of the sadness of this moment is on the part of the leader of Hispanic Jewry at the time. His name is Yitzhak or Isaac Abravanel. He lived from 1437 to 1508. He settles in Sicily and eventually ends up in Venice, where he has his children and his family. And he writes a major commentary on all of the Bible, and he writes a specific trilogy on the Messiah. For him, this is the lowest point of Jewish history. And this must be a signal that things are going to get better, radically so, that God is punishing his people in order to finally return them to the land of Israel. So that clearly the expulsion from Spain must be a sign and a witness to a divine event soon to take place. We have reached the point of the pangs of the Messiah, in Hebrew, Chevlei Mashiach. And now, says Abravanel, at the beginning of the 16th century, the Messiah will come. What is ironic about this is that Abravanel is a politician himself. He's a statesman. He's a person who knows the kings, who is even offered by Ferdinand and Isabel, the kings of the United Castile and Aragon, the opportunity of staying in Spain when the rest of the Jewish community were kicked out. But of course, he refuses. So here is a statesman, on the other hand, a guy that's writing a messianic trilogy. This is the kind of mindset that we're describing, the complexity of the way he is thinking and understanding Jewish history, past and present, and of course, future. He comes to Italy, where he writes the rest of his writings. I want to just mention, as we come to the closure of this particular lecture, several other Jewish writers who reflected on the tragedy of 1492. They didn't call it the beginning of the early modern period. I will do that for a variety of reasons, primarily because this migration will spell the end of Western European Jewry, as we said, will mix the various regional cultures that we described and create new configurations of culture in Italy, in the Ottoman Empire, in Central Europe, and of course in Eastern Europe, where the population of Judaism will shift from west to east. And only later in the 17th and the 18th century will Jews eventually return to Western Europe. So that here clearly we see this major movement. There are other reasons why I want to call this early modern, but that migration or that migratory pattern of a movement from west to east is a very, very significant dimension of our story. But let me reflect very, very briefly on two writers of the 16th century. One is Samuel Ushque, who lived roughly between 1530 and 1596. The second is Solomon ibn Verga, who lived in the late 15th and early 16th century. Both of them wrote histories, and therefore we have a very interesting genre merging to try to understand the past in relationship to the present and to use history as a means of consolation. In the case of Ushque, writing in Portuguese, a former converso, he tries to convince the conversos to return to Judaism. That things are going to get better. Things have been bad, Inquisition and so on. But look, the Ottoman Empire is opening up. Look, the land of Israel is now available to us. Now we can move. We can create a new life. Don't give up the ship. Return to Judaism. And the work obviously addressed the conversos because it was written in Portuguese in the first place. Ibn Verga's work is a work written in Hebrew. And this is a very interesting work, a work which perhaps also charts the beginning of a new consciousness. In it, he also describes history, and he's also writing to conversos and Jews as well. But he's also reflecting on the meaning of the tragedy. Why are Jews singled out for persecution? Why is there so much suffering? Why are there blood libels? Why are there attacks against Jews? And his answer for the first time is very different than other Jews have made. It's not because God is punishing us alone. That is possibly a reason. It's not because the Messiah is going to come. It's because we wore conspicuous clothes. It is because we're too involved with money lending. In other words, he is offering sociological and psychological, and people are envious of us, psychological reasons and so on. For the first time, he calls this, these are the natural reasons why Jews have suffered. And he's not offering us a prescription how to get out of this problem, but he is analyzing this, and he puts it in the mouth of a Christian named Thomas. In other words, Thomas becomes a literary spokesman explaining Jewish anti-Semitism against Jew and a possible Jewish response. Ibn Verga's work is published several times in the 16th century. It is published right into the modern era. It is a very interesting history, but more than that, it is a kind of sociological analysis of Jewish-Christian relations and an attempt to grapple with the Jewish question, not simply from the point of view of theology or metaphysical causation, but to understand that Jews and Christians have a material and a cultural life together. And perhaps if we can find ways of understanding why these people hate each other, we can overcome them and create a new harmony between Jews and Christians. A promise unfulfilled even in the 16th century, but nevertheless, a potential for a new examination of the Jewish question.